Big news, Canada. Manscaped has officially launched in Canada. And for anyone listening, you can be one of the first Canadians to experience this life-changing product. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer, and the Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer ever. Check it out, the Lawnmower 3.0. It'll change your life. It'll change your appearance. And most importantly, your significant other is going to absolutely love it. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code HAYES. That's HAYES. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com by using the promo code HAYES. It's time to start trimming. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, who joins us courtesy of the Maple Toyota Hotline. Ray, we were just discussing how, you know, it's been a moving target all year. If you're playing the role of the Maple Leafs, who would you prefer to play in the first round? We know it's going to be one of Winnipeg, Montreal, or Edmonton. And it may be recency bias. It may change between now and next month. But I think I'd put Winnipeg at the bottom of that list in terms of who I would be choosing in the first round if I had that choice. If I was
I wouldn't want to play Winnipeg. If I'm choosing, it's not like I'm jumping up and down if I get the other guys, but when I look at the Jets, their forward group is obviously very good. Missing Blake Wheeler last night, still you got a good glimpse of what Ehlers and Connor do. Like those are top end players. Shifley is a top end center. Stastny, they move around. I don't think Dubois has played that great yet. Yeah. But we saw last year what he can do. The thing that's really, that sets him apart, I think, Hellebuck he's awesome. He's just a tremendous goalie. But I didn't think they were going to get this type of play from their D. And, Neil Pionk is starting to get a lot of recognition for how good he is. The guy that's had an unreal year for him, and I don't think you'd notice him in a crowd of 100 guys, is Derek Forbert.
Yeah.
Man, he's just in the way all the time. They play against all the big matchups, and they got a great coach. I think Maurice is a terrific coach. That's a really good team.
Yeah, yep. I don't disagree with that. Like we were talking about it before, because I don't know how we all thought on trade deadline day, because they went and got Jordy Benn, who I think is a third pairing guy. And we thought, okay, if you could get Ekholm, if you could get, Goligoski, somebody who can play in your top four, that would really cement any type of depth issues that you had, for me anyways, at Winnipeg. But then I watched them slide Ville Heinola, I believe. Is that how you say his name?
Heinola. Yeah.
And Logan Stanley. And I think Logan Stanley's a young Oleksiak, like a big, long... Yeah. Kind of guy who will drop the gloves and that. So I'm looking at them, and I think Chevy was like, how much do I want to pay for, rentals, as opposed to maybe these kids need a little bit of a runway. And I think Mo slid in that Heinola last night, and he didn't look out of place, but it'll be interesting to see. That's the one thing I would circle in any type of matchups is, their goalie's as good as anybody, and their forward group deep depth wise is as good as anybody, but it's that defensive core that has to be adequate or better for them to do anything.
If they get an injury back there, I think that like a significant guy, right. I don't know that they have the depth to kind of get past that. That's why for me, I thought it was really important to try and add somebody. Yeah, it'd be great to get a top four guy, but just somebody that you knew could step in and play those minutes. They've got a couple. It's like Heinola is kind of their top prospect. Another kid, Ken Sandberg, he's an American kid who's played on the World Juniors a couple of times. He's kind of a mean, aggressive, at-home guy, and he's close, but he hasn't played yet.
Right.
So, like, if you got to go there, you're like, that's the old... I used your term last night, by the way, in the game. You were scrabbling.
I heard that. And what's funny, though, Ray? That's actually, I poached it from O, because Hayes, that was O's thing when he would say that, who was it, Randy Carlyle behind the bench? Was it?
Yeah, it was during the 18-wheeler, one of the 18-wheelers, there's been 40 of them, that when he'd be scratching his temple out, and he would just have Scrabble face because he'd be watching breakdowns and Reimer would be flopping around.
I'll never forget on this show, O said that Randy had a Scrabble face and everything he kept spelling out kept coming out to Freddy the Goat. And, and he was like, there's this, you know, that's what I've got for letters in front of me. And he, and like, I was dying laughing. So I've stolen that from O, but I did laugh when you credited me last night because that is a Scrabble face. Joe Sakic did have a Scrabble face when it was Michael Hutchinson trying to make saves, you know, in game seven there.
At some point there, Noodles, he went, how the hell did we get him? Well, you traded for him, Joe. Oh, really? I don't know.
That's your guy. You run the operation.
Rod Brind'Amour will always have the classic Scrabble face, though.
Oh,
with the whole, that's the classic. The David Ayers going in. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Most
worked
definitely.
Out for him, though. That was a good Scrabble face.
One other good Scrabble face I saw, I was doing the Jets in Chicago when the accountant came in. Scott Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And Joel Quenneville had never met him. Joel met him when he was coming. You know how you got to go through the bench there in Chicago? That's when Joel met him. The guy was coming through. He goes, hey, I'm Scott. Joel's like, I'm Joel. Good luck.
Nice.
You know what? That's going to be a SportsCenter top 10 Scrabble face because the only one I can think of as well. Do you remember who used to be the GM here in Toronto with Pooley?
Nonis.
Dave Nonis. Nonis' face when Roberto had to go to the bathroom and Danny Sabourin skated out. They showed Dave Nonis' face in the box, and he was like, where the hell is Roberto Luongo in overtime? Like, that's
fifth
an
overtime,
all-time.
Or what overtime
was it?
It was
double overtime or something.
Triple,
and Roberto's
like
pinching one off.
You know what I remember about that, Noodles? I think Sabourin had to make a couple of saves.
A bunch. He played like 10 minutes, and Anaheim poured it on. There wasn't a whistle for like 4 minutes. It was crazy.
And Louis cramped up in the locker room.
Can you imagine he was in there? He had his phone with him, iPad. You'd want to kick the door in, and be like, you got to be kidding me right now.
I know,
crazy. We're in double overtime.
We can come up with a bunch, but
yes,
I'm wondering, Ray, and maybe I wouldn't go so far as to say Scrabble face or even come close to hitting panic button. But we know timing is everything in sports, and there are 12 games remaining now for the Leafs, right? So they came off this incredible run with 9-0-1, and, you know, obviously we know Campbell with, you know, his historic run of 11-0. But now, you know, they're 0-2-1 in their last three, and I just wonder what number of games, maybe, even if you have one, maybe you don't, which is the cutoff before the playoffs start, where you're like, if you're not playing well, if you're starting to falter at this point, that's bad news heading into the playoffs.
I don't know that there is a specific. Going in playing poorly rarely is a recipe, right? Like you want to be playing decently at the very least. The thing I look at with the Leafs is with the complications of Nylander and Foligno, they weren't going to get to their team anyway until those guys can get back in the mix. So to me, it's most important right now to try and figure out what they're doing with all these guys. Like, what roles are they thinking they're going to be in? When do they think they're going to be able to use them? How much can they play? Like, I found it interesting last night that Nick Robertson was getting a pretty good run in the third.
I liked his game, Ray. I liked him last night.
Can he play? Need to play? Do you trust him? If you do, where do you trust him? Because don't forget, like, whatever we think the lines are, and, you know, certainly, it hasn't looked great the last couple of nights, but no Matthews, no Nylander, no Lino last night. So you got to plug those guys in spots.
Okay, throw them on hold, Moles. Yeah, you got that. It was just a matter of time.
I'm just watching your face get red, more red, more red. I'm like, oh, Hayes is going to lose it.
Well, you know what? Like, the announcement at 4 o'clock, like, you're already hot.
I'm
as
so
it
out
is.
Of sorts.
You're already hot as it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, it's been a grind. And then Ray's phone starts to go. And it's gold, though, too, because we need to talk about it. Because I thought Robertson is fine, but I still think there's nights where he's overwhelmed.
Like there was a couple, kid. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
But they can't be relying on him,
no,
you know, to go deep into the playoffs. It's just miscasting him.
I think it likely is, and we have Ray back. But, Ray, like I liked Robinson's game. I liked it. Keith said you're playing in the third. Go.
Yeah.
I think you've
got to find out. Like, you've got to know what do we have here? Because, they're, you know, Sheldon's moving guys around and trying a guy here and trying a guy there, and there's got to be a point where you go, I'm finally locked into this lineup. I saw a stat last night. In the last 20 games, Thornton's got 1 point. Engvall's got 4, and Simmons has got 3. Like, that's half of your bottom six. Like, what do you, like, can you go in like that? Or do you have to move some people around? Do you have to try and configure your lineup? Because, you know, you can't win with one line or two lines. I mean, Tavares is playing his best hockey of the year. You'll get Nylander back, and it's going to take him a few games. You're going to add Foligno. You're going to, you know, Hyman is going to do what he's going to do. But after that, guys, to me anyway, it's a crapshoot. It might turn out to be really good. But the only guy of any consistency in the bottom end of the lineup has been Spezza.
Yeah.
That's been it. Mm-hmm. There's been nobody else that you go, you know what? If they put him in that spot, I know that guy's going to carry the mail there. Because it hasn't happened. And that to me is the most important part, Andy, in a long-winded way to get to your question. That's the part of the season that I'm most interested in, given where they are in this, you know, in this season.
Yeah, it's a weird position that they find themselves in, because they've been kind of going on these runs over the last month. You know, like they had that one run where they lost 6 of 7, I believe, and I think all 6 were in regulation. Then they ran off a great run recently. Now they've lost 3 in a row, but they're still in a great spot. They're still sitting atop the division. They're making the playoffs. We all know that. But
right,
it does feel like today on a Friday, there's just more volatility around the team, like with the goaltending uncertainty. And now Campbell's run into it, Ray. Right? Now he's hitting his slump. Let's see what he's got. Who knows when Freddie's coming back. The power play is still, like, historically awful now. It's kind of crazy what's going on there. Their penalty kill has not been great. Matthews out with nicks and bruises. Depth pieces needed to step up. Like, it kind of feels like there's more questions today and a little bit more, I'd say, negativity surrounding this team, even though when you look at the standings, you know, when you put it into perspective, they're still in a very good spot.
Well, I guess because the points are in the bag already or in their pocket, so they're in the position that they're in. So, you know, they have leeway. That's why it's a great thing to pile the points up whenever you can. Mm-hmm. But I keep saying I think Montreal is pretty good. Well, when are they going to be pretty good? I keep waiting, right, and it doesn't happen. I think this Leaf power play can be pretty good. I think it can be really good. Well, when's that going to happen? They're 1-for-42 now. Like, that, they could have put that game away or put it in a really nice place in the first period last night. And they, I don't even know if they had
that 5-on-3 was not even remotely close to being dangerous. And
you can say, yeah, Matthews wasn't there. And yeah, he wasn't, obviously. But they still haven't been able to generate anything. So that's concerning to me. The uncertainty around the goaltending, you can't walk past that. I mean, that is what you have to think about, you know, what you have to be concerned about. Anderson's health. We knew if you were at all realistic that Jack Campbell was going to clunk down to earth a little bit here. He was stopping the puck 96% of the time. Like, stop it. Like, that's going to happen. So now he's not healthy. He's played a few games where he's not so great. He gives up 3 goals on 6 shots last night. And so now the goaltending's a little iffy. The only stability has been they play the same 6 guys on the blue line all the time, which is crazy. Like, right, the one place where I might not have thought they'd have that stability at the start of the year is on D, and yet there it is.
That is a crazy stat. Like, I thought I heard, maybe it was you, Ray, or Gord, or somebody that said, like, at one point the Leafs had played the same 6 guys, like, 20 games in a row. Like, it was like the,
yeah, it's been almost 2 months,
right,
and it's been the same 6 guys. And remember when LA won the Stanley Cup the 1 year, they used 6 guys through the whole playoffs, And it's like, that's remarkable that somebody didn't get banged up or get a shot off the ankle or something or other. And the Leafs have been able to do that. It feels messy right now around their team. And there's still plenty of time to sort that out. But I think for me, the most important spot or most important position right now is to get sorted what roles you expect from players, what you expect from them, and have them start attacking that role. Because you got to define it here pretty soon.
Well, and to that point, you got Nick Foligno, who will make his debut probably in Winnipeg, I would think. But it's going to take him some time to find the system, find his legs, like we talked about earlier in the week. Riley Nash, if he's going to be a part of this team, likely won't be until opening night of the playoffs. So he's just jumping into a completely foreign pool. And it's like, you got to swim with us, so we've got high expectations here. Generally speaking, if you have cup aspirations, ideally you're hitting on all cylinders with about 10 games to go and you carry that into the playoffs. It doesn't seem likely that the Leafs are going to have that opportunity because of all the moving parts. And, right. You know, they got to get the power play figured out, got to get the penalty kill figured out, figure out who's your guy in net. Who do you think that's going to be? The lines,
do you know what this sounds like to me, though, Brian? Like, as you're talking to it, talking through that, I'm thinking, you know, like when a team gives up the first goal, like 7 out of 8 games, and, you know, we all get on that, hey, they got to score first. Yeah, it would be nice, but you can't quit if you don't, right? You can't let yourself turtle if you give up the first goal. And so the Leafs aren't going to likely get this, you know, this runway of health to get everybody in the right positions and everybody to get enough time to be on the team in using Nash as an example. But that's what it is. So let's figure it out fast. Hopefully you've got the right guys that can jump in and adjust to their role and figure out a system in the new guy's case. And maybe it takes them a couple of games, but they get running. And in the meantime, your other guys are carrying the mail for you. Like, that might be the best thing that they're going to get, because you can't change it now.
You're right. And here's the other thing, too, is the finish line keeps getting moved, right? Like, that's and
have
I don't know
your schedule, Noodles.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. I just Gord had to resend me my schedule.
I got an email today. I got games scheduled now on days off and after the season, and whatever you thought the NHL schedule was, it's for all of us. We can just throw that in the garbage, and you got to look at it almost daily to go, okay, where are they going next? Because so many games are going to be moved.
Well, the Avalanche just postponed games too, right?
Yeah,
you're right.
Sounds
like it's, you know, getting into their dressing room again. But that was my point. Like, Paul Maurice on his Zoom the other day, I listened to him, and I thought he made an unbelievable point. Somebody asked him, you know, what you're saying, Brian, like the last 10 games, you want to get into a groove, and you know what he said? He goes, I would like to be in a groove, but he said, there's a chance with scheduling and everything that you might be feeling good about your game, and then you sit there for a week because, you know, of waiting for other teams to catch up and stuff.
Right.
So he said, what we're doing, and, you know, Paul is such a thoughtful guy when it comes to his answers and in the media. And he said, I am literally taking it in little pockets. We are going to try some things out and try different players out with teams that we are going to be, you know, up against in the playoffs. So obviously with Winnipeg playing Toronto, he may have, you know, inserted the young defenseman to go, let's see how he handles the Leafs' skill.
Yeah,
okay,
maybe,
let's see.
Maybe if they played a bigger team, it would have been Samberg.
Right.
But it's, you know, more of a skill game with Toronto, so it's Hainala. And
right.
That's a good point.
And he was just saying, we're going to try some things, but he said, as far as, you know, firing on all cylinders, we're just hoping for health. Because he said, well, everything else will work itself out as far as, you know, if you're playing well, not playing well. Because he goes, chances are there might be a week before that last game before you get going. And he goes, I don't know if anything carries over momentum-wise a week. So I banked that, kept thinking, you know, the Leafs, their games get pushed around. Well, that take that as a good thing, because that's another day for Matthews to rest. That's another day for, you know, William Nylander to practice, or Freddie Anderson. Like, you have to take what's handed to you and make the best out of it. And that's, I think, every organization has to look at it that way, because Vancouver's trying to just get it together, really, you know.
Well, Noodles, to that point, I mean, the Oilers think they're supposed to be playing in Vancouver tonight.
Right.
And they're not. And so that moves one game, but in essence, I think it's moving three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the job I wouldn't want is the NHL schedule maker. He must be sitting there in a room locking himself in so nobody else can get him to give him bad news.
He's just in a fetal position
right now.
Trying to
put all these games, man.
Yep. And more is going to be happening too, right? Like we've all conceded that. We all know that even once you think you got it figured out, then another team's going to get hit with something or some sort of travel issue. And, it's just a matter of time. I mean, it's really been moving parts since the beginning of the season, starting with Dallas and now Vancouver, Colorado. I guess here's some positive news. William Nylander has been removed from the COVID list, so you have to believe he'll be playing on Sunday in Vancouver. But Stamkos out. He goes on long-term IR, and Kucherov is practicing, and he's getting close, and I always feel for Stamkos, but I'm never that surprised just based on recent injury issues with him. And I don't think it means he won't be available come playoff time, but there's some cap maneuvering down there in Tampa. But ultimately, if they get everyone healthy, I think they feel pretty good about
their
chances.
Wouldn't it be something if Stamkos is on long-term till the end of the year and now Kucherov's ready to play?
Exactly. I hadn't thought of that, and the grappler brought that up to me. He's like, what if this allows Kucherov to come off before the playoffs start?
Like even just to get a couple of games in, right?
Absolutely. I wouldn't put it past him or them, and by all accounts, he's getting close to being ready. He's practicing, so why not play two or three games if you can in the regular season? Even better and even more terrifying for every other team in the league.
Ray, I got to ask. Sorry, go ahead if you wanted to.
Go ahead. No,
that.
Go ahead. Sorry, Andy.
Well, I was just going to say, and I know that this is something, again, that we've kind of been having conversations about since the season even started, because, you know, to your point, and Paul Maurice saying it's all about just staying healthy. Have you heard anything, like any kind of conversation heating up that for the playoffs, whether there's little hubs or, you know, especially for the final four, you know, are they going to do that with two teams in just the same area, or maybe, sorry, all teams like in one area, and then the four Canadian teams, would they just be in one Canadian area?
Yeah, nothing more than just, you know, their initial kind of like, I wouldn't even say it's a plan, but the thought of, okay, if we have to do this, how would we do it? You know, so they wouldn't be starting from scratch, but I think the intention is still to, you know, to have teams playing in their home arenas, and but as for when we get to the, you know, get to the last four, you know, there's going to be a Canadian team. They can't travel over the border.
Well, and even, but now there's not even, based on the news today, Ray, and I'm sure the NHL will work something out, but we can't travel between Ontario and Quebec now. I mean, based on some of these new rules that I'm seeing, what if it's a Toronto-Montreal matchup? I don't know.
I don't think they're going to, I mean, they've been letting them play the whole time.
I hope so,
all these other issues.
I think chartering and stuff. I mean, I'm sure they would find a loophole.
I don't think the NHL will be affected, but crossing the border, that seems as far away as it ever has. And we've been dealing with this for 13 months. That's what's scary.
I'm about, from my house, I'm about, I don't know, 15 kilometers or 20 kilometers to the border. And that feels like going to China.
Yeah. Really does.
You know, like, I haven't even thought of, like, oh, gee, we could go over there and get in the Nexus line. And, you know, like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not even on the table.
No, it's further away from the table than it almost ever has in a weird way, based on what we're all dealing with. And it's happening in BC. It's happening here badly in Ontario. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes, buddy. Have a great weekend, and we'll break it all down Monday at 5:05.
Yeah, I got to tell you, so my phone Dodge is out, shocker, but I'm home here by myself with the puppy, and I can't believe I'm going to get to the end of this interview without the puppy, like, creating more mayhem in the yard than he already
Aww,
is.
Puppies.
No noises. Haven't heard them. It's all good.
That's amazing.
Yep.
This is,
it is.
I think it's because of my, I'm like a dog whisperer sort of guy.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
like
that's
it.
Not a chance. I don't know. I am the king of getting the dog out of the house right after he goes to the bathroom.
Well, don't treat him like that bobcat that the one guy treated. Do you see that video that's gone viral?
But it was attacking his wife, man. That's bravery. My husband would have been in the car, doors locked.
I love how he's like nose to nose with it,
too. Go get him, honey.
Yeah. He'd be like, good luck, babe. I know you can do it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All I could think of was, why were they parked so close together? Look at the two cars. Yeah. They're like,
couldn't even
Manhattan?
Open the doors.
Yeah, you can't move. I'm like, how'd the bobcat get in there? Where'd that thing come from? But that guy picking up that bobcat and shot putting it about 40 feet across the lawn was pretty incredible.
I thought it was brilliant.
Awesome.
Like, he
video.
Was so tough. Like, he was like, I'm gonna get this thing out, and the bobcat went bombing right back in.
Right back
too.
In there looking for more
crazy.
Action.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, don't treat your dog that way, I guess
no.
is the moral.
No.
Ollie's about 5 pounds. I think I'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck with that, buddy. We'll do it Monday.
Have a great weekend, guys. Everybody stay safe. See ya.
You got
See
it.
Ya.
Great for our TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corollathon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person by appointment or online at MapleToyota.com. So, yeah, that video was wild, man. That guy is a gamer. He got
well,
in there. That bobcat
you
had no
You could hear
chance.
It. And it like, here's the thing. You know me. I love animals more than I love humans. That's just put that out there. I've always said it. But, I mean, something happened, and this bobcat latched onto her back. Like, it made the noise and then latched onto her back. And then he just came, like, with the cape and the shining armor and just grabbed that thing and
Scary,
turfed
man.
It.
Scary. Like, that bobcat had to have, like, rabies or something. Like, that's not a natural reaction.
I don't know. Unless that's – is that a new neighborhood? And you, listen, because you know I'm always going to side with the animal. Like, is it a new neighborhood? They tear down its habitat? Right,
well,
and now it's like,
I'm not
going to
side with the animal.
Yeah, I won't side with it. I was fine with him protecting his family.
Absolutely.
But it was crazy, though. Like,
I'm all for protecting.
Crazy.
I'm just saying, let's also not be naive. We're kind of building more and more into green space.
Okay.
You know?
It didn't
Where are they
like
going to go?
The homes were brand new that day. And who was the bobcat?
It was, like a grit, grinder neighborhood. Like, that guy was a grit grinder.
I think he's saying hi to his neighbors, going for a jog. He's whistling, putting
Frank
his coffee
tank.
On his
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, I listen, that bobcat protecting his space, fine, but that was a little bit over the top. You
yeah,
know,
the, guy, it went for
bobcat
it went
turns
for the
into
wife.
Steven Seagal all of a sudden, and you had to take care of it. Basically,
it was awesome.
It was ridiculous.
I loved it.